Please be seated. We're going to come to part of service where we look at the Bible. And so it might be an idea if you grab a Bible, purple Bible, on your pew at the end. And we're going to have our Bible reading from Matthew chapter 27. So you find it on page 1000, easy number for us. And if you look down on the left-hand column, you'll see it says, the guard at the tomb. And we're going to start reading from chapter 27, verse 62. You'll see the little 62 there. And we're going to read through to chapter 28, verses 10. And before this reading, Jesus has died. He's been put in the tomb. Big stone has been put across it. And there's two women there, both called Mary, as it happens. And they're sitting opposite, watching what's going on. And they crop up later again in our reading. Okay, so it says this. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, this deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate said. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look for the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
That's great, Jeremy. Thank you for reading that for us. I'd love it if you kept that passage open in front of you. We're just going to spend a few minutes looking at it together, and I think you find it helpful having it in front of you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, page 1000. And let me just say a short prayer before we look at this together. Heavenly Father, whether we're very new to all of this, or whether we've been Christians for a long time, we pray that you would help us to see the truth about Jesus this morning. Amen. Jesus, dead or alive? That's what I'd like us to think about this morning. Jesus, dead or alive? When Jesus of Nazareth died 2,000 years ago, did he stay dead or did he really come back, which is what the Bible says? Now, in our country, fewer and fewer people are involved in a church, but people are just as interested as ever in the supernatural. Lots of people read horoscopes, Many people have tried Ouija boards and visiting a medium. We're less interested in God, but we can't shake the idea that there is something out there. Just listen to this. This is from a newspaper in Lancaster. The newspaper interviewed a man called Dublin, who owns a shop selling occult things, supernatural things. The shop's called Bell, Burke and Candle. And the journalist says that one of the strangest things that you can buy in this shop is soil from people's graves. The soil is used in a ritual to speak with people who have died, so they say. And the owner, Dublin, he goes out at night when it's a full moon, and he deliberately goes to the graves of people who were good people, people who protected other people like police officers or judges. And he digs down, and he takes some of the soil, and then in payment, he leaves 2 silver coins and some whiskey. And people then go to his shop, and they buy the soil from the shop when they try to speak to the dead. Now, it might be that you hear that, and you think, well, that's pretty out there. But as our country becomes less interested in God, we're still very interested in the supernatural. Many of us watch loads of stuff on TV that's to do with angels and demons and fairy tales and things like that. And actually, when our ordinary lives feel dull at times, we love watching that stuff. We can't shake the feeling that there is something out there. Now, Matthew was a close friend of Jesus. And Matthew wrote about everything that he'd seen and heard whilst he knew Jesus. And Matthew would say, you're right. There is more to life than what we can see and hear and touch. But let me tell you where to find the real answers. And today, Matthew's going to take us to the heart of the Christian claim that Jesus isn't dead, he's alive. Now, at this stage, Matthew's already told us that Jesus was rejected by his people, the Jews, and Matthew has described Jesus' death on the cross. And the next day, Saturday, the Jewish leaders go to the Roman leader, Pilate. And if you're following along, just have a look down at the bottom of page 1000, left-hand side, verse 63. Sir, the Jewish leaders say, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I'll rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. So they don't believe Jesus at all, do they? Jesus claimed to be God's promised king. Jesus claimed that after 3 days he would rise from the dead, but the leaders don't believe him at all. The leaders haven't believed any of Jesus' miracles, and they think the last thing we need now is his disciples nicking the body, and they'll deceive even more people. And so the Roman leader Pilate says, fine, make the tomb secure. And verse 66, top of the page, they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. So a wax seal on the stone would show if anyone's tried to get in or out. And now there's a bunch of soldiers to make sure no one does. Job done, they think. Now perhaps you can sympathize with how the leaders felt. Jesus claimed, after 3 days, I will rise. But if you're honest, you say to yourself, well, I just can't believe that. We might not say that Jesus was a deceiver, but we just can't believe it. Well, what I want to do now is to show you the evidence that Matthew gives us. Matthew writes down what the people who were there saw and heard next. And I wonder what you'll make of it. Maybe you know the comedian Eddie Izzard. Here's a picture of him. Eddie Izzard was once asked where he gets all his energy from for all of his live shows and all the TV work that he does and so on, all his stand-up comedy. And Eddie Izzard said this. He said, I have this very strong sense that we're only on this planet for a short length of time. Religious people might think it goes on after death. My feeling is that if that's the case, it would be nice if just one person came back and let us know it was all fine, all confirmed. Of all the billions who've died, if just one of them could come through the clouds and say, you know, it's me. Eddie Izzard is saying that if only one person came back, then we'd know. Well, that's exactly what Matthew is about to claim. Matthew says there were witnesses, and he says that they have two claims. Here's the first claim up on the screen. The claim that they met an angel. And let me read the first few verses of chapter 28, the big 28 on page 1000. Matthew writes, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now we know that they went to the right place because they'd seen where Jesus was buried. And verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. They pass out. They see this great, bright, supernatural being, and they pass out with fear. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, how can I believe in angels? Well, like I said earlier, as our country becomes less interested in God, we remain just as interested in the supernatural. It's like our unbelief is haunted. And there was a national survey of religion recently, and over half of the people they talked to, 55%, said this. They believed that at some point they'd been protected from harm by a guardian angel. That's our country today. 55% of people said that. Matthew claims that these people met an angel. Maybe we should keep listening. So the soldiers pass out. The angel wrenches back this very big, heavy stone. It would have taken a number of men to move it. And then the angel speaks, verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who is crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he's risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So this angel has been sent by God to announce that the king has risen. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Now, earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has said five times that he would rise from the dead in the future. Jesus knew it would happen. It was Jesus' plan. He would die on the cross to pay for the wrongdoing of his people, and he would then rise from the dead as their king. So he would die as their rescuer, and he would rise as their ruler. Come and see the place where he lay, the angel says. And we can imagine the women stooping in to have a look. The tomb was empty. No body was ever produced. And the reason, the angel says, is that he's risen. Go and tell his other disciples he's risen from the dead. This is the word of God being spoken by the messenger, the angel. And if we're wise, we'll listen to the word of God. Now, before the time of computers, a Christian man worked for a national newspaper. And in the basement of the building where the newspaper was based, there were two rooms. And the rooms were filled with files on important people, people that the newspaper would have to write about. And one room was full of files about people who were alive. And then across the corridor, there was another room filled with files about people who had died. Now, one day, this Christian man, out of interest, looked, and he found the file about Jesus of Nazareth. But it was in the room for people who were dead. And so very quietly and without telling anyone, he picked up the phial and he crossed the corridor and he put it into the room for people who were still alive. And you can imagine a bit later on, a journalist looking for the phial about Jesus and not finding it in the room for people who were dead. And it reminds me here of the words that the angel says in verse 5, "He's not here, he's risen, just as he said." Now, as I speak this morning, I'm aware that many of us believe that already. But we need to keep on being reminded, don't we? Often we live as if Jesus hasn't risen. And we need to hear the angel's words again. He has risen, just as he said. He's the King. And if you're not yet persuaded that he's risen, well, let's look at the second claim that the witnesses make. They claim they met an angel, and then secondly, they claim that they met the risen Jesus. And do you have a look with me at verses 8 to 10 of chapter 28? Matthew writes this. "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" So the women hurry away from the empty tomb. They're afraid and yet they're filled with joy. I suppose that means that they're overwhelmed and yet they think this is amazing. And then to crown it all, they meet Jesus himself. "Greetings," he said, and they come to him, they take hold of his feet and they worship him. It's worth noting there that they physically touch him. This isn't a ghost, a bit like Becky was saying earlier on with the talk for the children. He's not a ghost. He's physically risen from the dead. In fact, the Gospels give us a number of incidents like that, where Jesus' followers touch the risen Jesus or they eat with him. This is a real physical rising from the dead. And what does it mean? What does it mean that Jesus has risen from the dead? Well, it means this. It means that Jesus is the rescuer and that he is the ruler. Just look at what Jesus says in verse 10. He says, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." If we trust in Jesus, we become his brothers and sisters. Now, the truth is, how we treat God puts us far from him. We ignore him. We don't treat him like the Almighty God that he is. And we hurt others, we're greedy, we get angry, we say hurtful words. And our sin puts us far from God. And sin is more serious than we think. Sin means that we deserve death and punishment from God. We don't deserve a place in his kingdom. And yet Easter is wonderful news. Jesus came to die for sins and to rise again. And when he died on the cross, he died for me. Jesus took my punishment for ignoring God and for hurting others, and he rose again. And if anyone turns to him and trusts in him, instead of being far from God, well, verse 10, we can be Jesus's brothers and sisters. We can have life forever in his kingdom. It's wonderful news. Jesus came as the rescuer. And he also came as the ruler. The resurrection shows that Jesus is the ruler and he calls us to turn to him. Do you see how the women treat him in verse 9? They come to him, they clasp his feet and they worship him. If Jesus really is risen from the dead, then he is the King of the whole world. And he calls us to turn to him. He says, "Don't ignore me anymore. Turn from your sin. Turn to me. Worship me as your king. And come into my kingdom." Now, it'll be hard to do that. It'll mean a big change. It'll mean him being the king of my life rather than me. But it's absolutely worth it. He is a powerful rescuer. and he is a good ruler. And he invites us to be his brothers and sisters, and he invites us into his kingdom forever. The Battle of Hastings was one of the most famous battles in English history. It was the year 1066, very famous date. And as the two armies fought each other, a rumor went around the Norman army. The rumor was that their leader, William, had died. And as the soldiers heard that, they began to despair. They began to feel weak. They began to feel tired. And there was a real danger that they were going to lose the battle. But the truth was that William hadn't died. And so when William heard that that was the rumor, he got on his horse and he started riding up and down his troops, shouting out, "I'm alive! I'm alive!" And that gave the soldiers fresh courage, fresh energy to keep fighting. He's alive! And Matthew writes his gospel to persuade us that Jesus is alive. He's given us two eyewitness claims, that the eyewitnesses met an angel and that they met Jesus himself. And there's more evidence than this. A bit later on in chapter 28, Matthew and others meet Jesus, risen from the dead. Matthew says it's wonderful news. He says it shows us that Jesus offers life forever in his kingdom. And if you're here today and you're someone who has already turned to Jesus, if you're trusting in him, then take heart again this morning. Isn't this wonderful news? He's alive, and he offers us a kingdom that will last forever. Praise him again for that this Easter. And if you haven't yet turned to him, I do hope you want to find out more. If what Matthew writes is true, it changes everything. And we would love to help you take the next step to find out more. I wonder if you'd be willing to do that. Well, let me finish with the words of the angel and with a short prayer. The angel says this: "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said." Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are risen from the dead, just as you said. We praise you that you are the great rescuer and ruler sent by God. Amen.